Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation.
Has no choice. Nature can deal with kinetic energy one way or another, but it cannot finagle momentum. So it must give.
Alright, so that was a MIT professor, okay, who, as I've sort of demonstrated, does cheat, okay, to defend his beliefs, his religion. Some people are going to accuse Franklin Hu of badly representing MIT, where obviously you can't more badly be represented than to have a professor who cheats the truth to promote a pile of propaganda, frankly. Really poorly evidenced theory. And kinetic energy, 1/2 mv². If anyone pays any attention to the history, it's obvious. It's not even hard to detect how bad the physics was, the science, that it wasn't proven by a demonstration of substantial evidence, that it was just gimmicks. Really poorly conceived ways of interpreting the reality. So anyway, so I'm going to read the comments on this video by Franklin. Again, I'm grateful for his interest, the fact that he was, sort of pushed him into it. I'm glad that he's at minimum seeing that this is more of a question. It's more of an open question than a closed question, that the facts aren't decisive, pointing to what the propagandists must force you to believe. It's not even a must question. It's we're going to force you to see it our way, and we're not going to persuade you with evidence. We're going to attempt to persuade you with ridicule and play the little mob rule bullshit, and we're the majority, and so we can and fuck you. Okay, not effective. It's not going to work on me anyway. All right, so Michael Falwell, who has no credibility as any kind of thinking, engineering-type person, okay? Wow. His icon is a dumb cat, okay? A cat known, like his only redeeming feature, well, he has two. He's fat and stupid. So it's a cliche of don't be one of these. And that's his icon. Okay, let's understand. So that's what he identifies with, fat and stupid. Okay, the only thing I can honestly say that you proved here is that money cannot buy an education. So that was proven. So this is his standard of proof for making arguments. And so obviously he hasn't proven that you can't buy an education. And of course he certainly hasn't proven that there isn't a huge correlation between the quality of the school, that is its reputation, and actual scientific accomplishment. Okay, that there is a correlation. You go to better schools, you're more likely to win Nobel Prizes and all that kind of crap. Just a fact. But he doesn't care about facts. So he's going to slander the entire education system with, like, not that I think it's brilliant, not that I think the whole money talks, walks, bullshit of education means anything, or is very useful, but this isn't the way you argue it. This is fake evidence, okay? This is nonsense, rubbish, trash talking. So that's the best they can do. So in defense of 1/2 mv², the best they can do is this. Yeah, right. Okay. So, Stephen Bro sticks in. Shockingly, money couldn't buy him the equipment he needed either. So, yeah, I mean, who wants to invest, okay? This isn't 400 years ago. When Galileo did these experiments, this was really, this was cutting-edge science. It's not cutting-edge. You almost feel ridiculous doing these simple experiments. But the fact is they need to be done well, and nobody's investing in doing them well. I've attempted to persuade people. I even offered the applied science guy who does, really excellent experimental work. To pay him $2,000, and he doesn't even have to mention me. He just has to do a kinetic energy video. So I offered to pay him just to do the experiments. And, you know, nothing back. Who makes a track out of corrugated cardboard? Oh, yeah, Gary. I don't remember me doing that, frankly. So, yeah. It's just more Brozos-isms. Who uses rulers with crap all over them? You know, that are crooked and the numbers are, you know, it's not even a straight line. Yeah, Brozos. Yeah. All right. It is just coincidence that when people employ cardboard as tracks for groundbreaking experiments, they think they have debunked NASA. So he's using NASA as if NASA is a great defender of 1/2 mv², when I've made the argument, from all the evidence I could gather, 1/2 mv² wasn't in the computer that navigated the lunar module to the surface of the moon. It wasn't in the computer. Okay, the computer, when they programmed the computer, they had to program it. Nothing non-essential could be in there. So it wasn't even in the computer as an equation, because it was of zero value, okay, in deciding how to apportion energy to create a soft landing on the moon. It has no value to NASA. So it's just bullshit to use these kind of bullshit arguments. There's no NASA experiments. There's no space shuttle experiment. There's no space station experiment. There's no floating astronaut doing some kind of experiment that demonstrates kinetic energy. So it's all just a big pile of crap to say NASA has proven kinetic energy. And then, as you know, as Franklin pointed out in his video, and I've pointed out in multiple videos, if you think about what happens in space and when objects are moving around in space, you're really not. It's really not going to work. You're not going to shoot the gun out one side and have the bullet go with 2,000 joules of energy and then have the gun's recoil with 2 joules and turn your ship with that kind of logic. It won't work, because the gun with the 2 joules of energy is going to mean the same thing to the universe that the bullet does. In fact, the 1,000 atoms moving slow is in fact the same thrust as the 1 atom moving fast. That's the fact. It's a fact Brozo hasn't touched with a counter argument. So let's just understand, this coward hasn't dealt with a single argument made against his stupid moronic logic. And so he hasn't dealt with any of these subjects. He hasn't drawn a lever. He hasn't shown how pressure vessels work. He hasn't demonstrated how even electricity works. Why doesn't electricity have a voltage squared? You know, idiot. Oh, shit. I mean, oh, he's just such a dishonest little fuck. Okay, ironically, he's claiming to be debunking MIT too. So let's understand, MIT is already debunked. The Professor Lewin experiment was a pile of shit, okay? It was a fake, phony pile of shit. I've demonstrated over and over, there hasn't been a single response from you cowards demonstrating otherwise. You haven't explained how the cart could possibly weigh twice as much. Because it can't possibly weigh twice as much. All right, while using MIT to brag. So again, there's no debunking MIT. We just heard Professor Lewin say it pretty clearly. Kinetic energy, whatever. But momentum, yeah, you can't fuck with momentum. So again, that's another comment that Brozo hasn't dealt with in any way whatsoever. Okay, of his supposed expertise in experimental matters. So again, you know, the fact is that what the experiments demonstrate is you can do some chicanery. Now, Professor Lewin, in fact, is you know, guilty of a few fudges. Okay, his silly, there's two voltages in the same location of a wire. Yeah, obviously, no, you're measuring it wrong. So, that's kind of bullshit. And then he used to do an experiment about standing waves versus, you know, moving waves, you know, how you can create wave interference with sound and radio. He did the same antenna experiment and used it for both purposes. I mean, it was pretty bogus. Anyway, talk about having your cake and eating it, whatever that is. He wants it both ways. Kind of like saying, MIT are fools, they taught me. So again, it's obviously saying all of physics is a fool. Okay, Einstein was a fool. All the people got fooled by something really stupid, Leibniz. And Leibniz didn't even fool them, right? So let's just go back to the Chartelet and the silly clay experiments. So I'll do it one more time. So Brozo's arguing that his clay experiments have more integrity, okay, than the ones done by the Mythbusters. So the Mythbusters are basically saying, look, you just take a clump of clay and you put a weight on it, okay? You put pressure against it. So you swing it and you make pressure, all right? And the clay will show you how much pressure there is by displacing, that is, moving the clay, okay? The clay will get moved in proportion to the amount of weight. And it's not entirely untrue, right? I'd say there's no evidence that clay doesn't have some linearity in how much it will be displaced in its volume based on how much pressure you apply. So you apply pressure here, and it's like a pressure vessel. It expands in these directions commensurate with how much pressure is pushing on the clay. So that's their experiment, and their experiment comes out perfect, defending momentum. So momentum wins. No evidence of kinetic 1/2 mv squared. No evidence of 1/2 mv squared. All right, when the Mythbusters do the experiment. Brozo thinks this experiment, when you use a round object, okay, and you drop that into the clay. So you're not compressing the clay, you're dropping an object in it and creating a displacement. Now, I've pointed out the obvious, that a circle, right, is flat this way, and then it's flat this way, right? So you can sort of understand that it's changing what direction it's pushing based on how far it goes into the clay. And that clearly what has to happen when it's pushed down, it has to, okay? It can't move the clay this way because it's going to meet the pressure of the clay. The clay is going to fight back with, not a force, but it's going to fight back. And the only place it's going to have to go, just like a water wave, right? The pressure is down here. The water wave has to go up because it can't go forward. Okay, it's compressing the water. The water won't be compressed, so it has to go up into gravity. Right? Well, the same thing happens here. Any downward force has to be converted into a sideways force. The only place it can get rid of the clay is to push it sideways eventually. So, obviously, when this surface is in contact with the clay, it has to do two motions. It has to move the clay this way and that way. Where obviously when it just pushes it this way, okay, it's only doing the one, okay? So it's more likely to displace the clay, more clay. Not complicated, frankly. So the simple argument is it matters what shape the object is that you drop into a clay to deform it. Okay, the shape of the object you're deforming with will make a difference. All right. Now, he says that's not true. Okay, and he's proven it's not true with nothing. And he's counter-argued with nothing. So he's applied no reasoning, no logic, no anything to defeat this argument that this shape means something. That it matters what shape the object is, and that'll change how much clay is displaced. And again, the Mythbusters experiment is pretty unbreakable. They simply swung, okay, the weight, so you have twice the speed, and they got the obvious, you know, in defense of momentum result of 50 miles an hour looks like this, and 100 miles an hour looks like this. 2 to 1. 1, 2. Yeah. Not complicated. Now, he won't refute any of that with any reasoning, any logic, any counter argument. He'll just slander people. Because that's all he knows how to do is lie. That's all he's good at is lying. Alright. Alright, enough of that. So, Ian Gosling. Dear God, Franklin. I was waiting for the satire to end. Whatever. I mean, there are legitimate questions. I mean, the fact that these people are so arrogant when they can't show a video of it taking four times more fuel to go twice as fast. They can't show a single really good piece of evidence in defense of what they're arguing. And yet they argue with such arrogance in defense of their faith. And that's all it is. It's just faith. They won't apply any logic. They won't explain how a lever works. They won't explain how it can have twice as much theoretical energy on one side that it has on the other side and oscillate perfectly. How they could have an oscillator that oscillates perfectly when it has twice as much energy on one side that it has on the other side. They'll provide no explanation, and yet they're so arrogant. It's just pathetically bad behavior. You know, the joke stops, but to my angst, you're serious. Aghast. No, sorry. Smarter than most bears. ? Yeah, okay, Franklin said some, you know, I mean, you know, there's no point in playing that game, frankly, where you just say, look, I'm really credible and I'm really honest, so you don't need to know anything except I did the experiment and I found my results. So, yeah, I mean, he really doesn't understand that in this atmosphere, you really have to publish what you did and how you did it. People want to see it. Okay, so, I mean, not showing it and doing all these other things wasn't very smart. Yeah, but I'm not denying that you're not smart. Okay, I'm not saying you're not smart. I'm just saying that you've obviously were easy to dupe for most of your life in terms of believing in something that was just crap, that, you know, didn't make, frankly, it doesn't make any sense on its surface. All right, perhaps so, but they are better disposed to survive in the wild. Whatever. You make a mockery of MIT. I mean, you know, let's just figure out how many bears, you know, bear cubs die. You know, based on humans dying. But whatever. You make a mockery of MIT and your education. Now let's understand that the mockery of MIT, frankly, is Professor Lewin. I mean, it's a mockery for a professor to, you know, fudge experiments. If you're going to demonstrate something, demonstrate it for real. Don't demonstrate it in a fixed environment. And don't do, like, two slit experiments where you say, yeah, the math works. And you never prove that the math works. That's all bullshit. And that's the fucking science you're defending. Just keep saying it, okay? Don't demonstrate it. Don't prove it. Don't do the experiments. Yeah, you don't need to do the Eddington experiment from space where there's 400 times better resolution. You don't need an eclipse. And it only takes a mediocre camera. That's your physics. That's what you're defending. And it's pretty unethical and indecent and an insult to fucking science. All right. In my opinion, you getting a linear thing, E, is cause the car faster wheel rotation causes more drag. So this is kind of, you know, I wonder where his intuition gives him that impression. That faster things incur more frictional drag. When, again, I've sort of given the argument, even if you just go with the round earth idea, you can sort of understand that any velocity, okay, will have a tiny effect in terms of the fact that you're almost flying. The faster you're going, the closer you're getting to flying rather than rolling. And it's a real effect, you know, and it's an always effect. You can't undo the effect. You just get less and less and less of it as you're going slower and slower and slower. But it's a real effect. Okay, if you were to use a car with bearing, they're still bearings, okay? They're not fancy ones, but they're still bearings. You would get more similar curve to the theoretical. So, says you, made up nonsense, just baby talk in the sense that you're just saying so. You can't point to an experiment demonstrating that to be true. So again, what's the point of this arguing without any experimental evidence of your own to defend? You have nothing to defend. At least I can show a Mythbusters video. I can show a couple of experiments that demonstrate that, you know, when you do the real experiment, it don't come out that way. You crash a car into a brick wall, and it doesn't do what your theory predicts, and that's just a fact. Even the braking arguments, if you actually do the experiment, it won't be 1 to 4. If you actually did the fuel experiment, it's not going to be 4 times more fuel to go twice as fast. And I think everybody who's ever driven in a car knows it ain't going to be true. MC says 2.8x is most likely needed, so this is as dumb as the previous comment, in most experiment to have 4x damage. So somehow he thinks that little 0.8 thing is what really makes the difference. So you go from 2 times the damage to 4 times the damage with the 0.8. 0.8 did it all. So yeah, you go twice the speed, I know, you only get twice the damage, but no, as soon as you add that 0.8, now you can really do some damage. If you had 0.9, you could go 5 times. If you had 0.10, you know, if you had a whole 1, yeah, then you're up to like 7 or 8 times the damage. So this isn't something NASA's demonstrated. Okay, NASA doesn't have any of that evidence. All right, due to the heat. So this is the made up, this is the physics girl baby talk. Oh, there was a bunch of heat, and there was a bunch of stuff, and we lost half the kinetic energy. We have exactly the same amount of momentum, but we lost kinetic energy. You really think you can make heat without using something's momentum? So I can use zero momentum. I can have something with a momentum. I can make a big pile of heat, and I can have the object leave with exactly the same momentum. That's your theory, retard. MC, whoever the fuck you are, you really think that's possible? I can have momentum going in, I can make a ton of heat, half the energy value of the object, I can make twice, half the energy of the object in heat, and the object will leave with the same momentum, the same mass and velocity. I can make free heat. That's what Physics Girl said. Same momentum in. Okay, I have a 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour. I add, 5 tons to the train. I now have a 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour. She says, same momentum, right? I mean, it's the same momentum. The momentum going in, 5 times 10, same as the momentum going out, 10 times 5. Same fucking momentum, and you're going to argue there was a bunch of heat. And you don't understand how that's free energy. You've just defended free energy physics. I mean, you gave this no thought at all, right? You don't do anything called logic or reasoning. You just talk shit. I mean, how could anybody defend that? How can you defend a theory that says, look, I have a certain amount of fucking goddamn momentum, and then I have the same momentum coming out, but I made heat, or I made light, or I made anything in between. How could I fucking move anything? How could I vibrate anything? How could I make any sound if it didn't come out of my fucking momentum? How could I have the same fucking momentum, I can make shit happen, and then still have the same fucking momentum? How do you think that's possible? That's like saying some weight could fall, but I could put a bunch of things in it that it hits. It hits a bunch of goddamn surfaces, and it still hits the end product is the same amount of energy. How do you think this could be possible? It can land with the same weight, okay, that it would have landed if it didn't hit anything. How could you think that's possible? I mean, these people are so fucking stupid and talking out of their ass with such arrogance. You're just like, this is mob rule. This is what mobs do. A bunch of morons just sit there and cling to whatever, thing that has any integrity at all and think I'll just support the king. I'll just support the king. They don't understand anything. This is like voting for somebody because they have a pretty face. I mean, you're just so fucking stupid. All right, experiments can drastically reduce energy loss. Probably has a value much closer to 2x. So he just says this crap. You have no evidence. All right. Clearly, in the case that, to Franklin's justification, He put the car on a treadmill and sort of demonstrated it didn't matter much. Okay, the bearings weren't an issue. And you could argue, okay, that in these experiments, you know, it's the same weight car. So, you know, the bearings, the bad bearings for the one experiment are going to be bad bearings for the second experiment. Now, I'd still argue that, you know, in theory, friction is uneven, even for an object of the same weight. The faster you go, the less friction, the less contact with the ground. It's just a fact. All right? But clearly, weight is the bigger factor. The more weight you put on an object, the more you're going to increase the amount of energy you're going to lose to friction. And again, they don't even, you know, these people don't even understand that you lose energy to friction. Okay? Friction isn't a counter force. Friction is you losing your energy. Oh, I can't believe they can't even understand that. I mean, I did know that almost from hatching. From the day I hatched, I almost knew that. Because it wasn't a time I could ever think of where I had any other impression. Then that's exactly what somebody, when somebody talked about friction, I said, oh, okay, the energy in this goes into that. Not complicated at all. All right, what distance from the measuring tape did you measure the distance of the car traveled? So, yeah, this is the whole trick. It's got to, you got to, if you're going to collect the energy, you have to collect all the energy. So that means you have to go the whole path the car traveled. So if that's what he did, I'm surprised he came up with the 2-to-1 relationship, because I would think, okay, it's my impression that there would be a difference in the friction. The faster car would incur less friction and therefore go a little faster, a little further. It certainly wouldn't go 4 times, but yeah, it would go further. And so then he makes a stupid whatever this is. You know, I mean, oh, sorry. Yeah, you're not seeing that. You don't really need to see the comment, but yeah, he's got one of these little whatever this, little emoticon-y. Oh, fuck. Physics arguments made out of emoticons. Shit. I mean, it's just sad how few people with actually functioning, logical, reasoning brains are in this conversation. Just a bunch of shit-talking cowards. The Piros, the Brozos, these assholes. These aren't fair cops. You know, these are just fanatics, you know, defending their mullahs. Their ayatollahs. Okay, I've now watched your whole video, and I have a lot to say, but it will take a long time, blah, blah, blah. Well, you're already wasting everybody else's time, and I've already gone 3 a.m., and both just passed my bedtime, and blah, 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 blah. I haven't had my 5th drink yet. Plus, this will be my 4th comment, and I would rather someone else chimed in if they are so inclined. Well, it'd be good if someone else had something called a working brain, but yeah, no, all your friends are dopes. So they won't chime in with anything relevant to the actual subject. They'll just make declarations that they can support with absolutely zero credible evidence. And that's the key word here, credible. There are numerous problems, some of which I've already dealt with in last year when Despard. So yeah, Despard's problems were actually, some of them were a demonstration of exactly problems you haven't accepted, retard. Was trying exactly the same experiment, making mistake after mistake. Well, he did make lots of mistakes, but yes, the fact is that it's a mistake to think friction is fair. It's really stupid to think that, it's logical for you to think that for the same distance, a heavy object gives the same energy to the ground that a light object does in friction. It's stupid to think those two things are equal. All right, the fundamental problem I see is that you are doing the best experiment you and Gary could think up. You're not doing. Well, I'd still argue, you know, the one I guess I will eventually engineer is the pendulum lever one. So just use pendulums, swing them into a lever mounted horizontally. Okay. And just see if it's how simple it is to make the 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour create the 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour. And once you've done that, you've proven, okay, that by your theory, free energy is easily created? And obviously we know it's not. So obviously your theory has to die because it has no connection to reality. Because in reality, I can't make free energy. All right, you are doing the most convenient one with bits you already had. Yes, and same as you do, same as everybody does. All right, you are using the cheapest toy car instead of something designed for the experiment. La 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 la. The cardboard track is bad as anything Gary would make. So again, it's just a lie, okay? But yeah, I'm not against cardboard, frankly. But yeah, I wouldn't use folded cardboard with seams in it. But anyway, you didn't actually let us see or hear the experiment. I'm sure there's cardboard in some of Brozo's experiments. You know, some of his little rickety launchers and shit. And all kinds of crap glued on other pieces of crap. I mean, he's such a hypocrite. Alright, just a clip or two. I didn't actually let us see or hear the experiment. Yes, it would have been appropriate for us to see your method of doing the experiment. Because again, I don't really understand. He's using frame rate to detect velocities. So what? How high the ramp is should be totally irrelevant. You're just saying, here's a clip with twice the velocity, and this is what it does when there's twice as the velocity. That's all you want to do is establish the velocity. You don't really care about how you get the velocity, you just care about creating it. Okay, sound gives a clue about where there are problems. Well, that's kind of mushy bullshit. You know, some sounds are of no value. The transition from the slope to the horizontal doesn't inspire confidence because it has losses written all over it. Well, again, it really wouldn't matter. If he's taking the frame rate from once it's free of the ramp, and he's measuring the velocity after it leaves the ramp, then it really doesn't matter. The transition is sort of irrelevant because the transition is already done, whatever it's going to do to the velocity. Some of the energy on the falling car is obviously going to be transferred to the ground as the front wheels impact, and later the real wheels, meaning it cannot possibly have the energy it's supposed to have to carry it forward horizontally. So again, it's almost, you could argue irrelevant because the rotation of the wheels has already been created, so their angular momentum already exists. And once it's free of the ramp, all it has is its linear velocity, and the rotation of the wheel should be pretty consistent. I don't think you're going to stop the rotation of the wheel. So even if the wheel's lifted off the ground, they're still rotating. Like I pointed out in my previous comment, if the 4 times the height thing was wrong, then how come 4 times m at the same height gives the energy measurement in clay? Well, there's lots of experiments. Like I said, I don't know. It's unfortunate that he went beyond just arguing against the kinetic energy formula and decided to also take shots at the Galilean proof, in my opinion, of the relationship of energy acquisition in gravity. Essentially, Galileo proved that gravity is time dependent. It's just about how long you're free falling. That decides how much energy you collect. Nothing else decides. How long are you in the gravity and how long is there nothing consuming your energy acquisition? As soon as you hit a force, or you hit air, you hit the ground, you hit anything that stops you from acquiring velocity, you'll just keep collecting it at this incremental rate. And it doesn't matter how fast you're going, you're just going to collect it based on how much time, okay, you're in the gravity. It's per second per second. It's per a unit of time. And once you establish that, then all this crap about distances, who cares? Distances are irrelevant. It's about time being pushed. The fact that you had to dismiss loads of runs is a strong indicator that this experiment is flawed from the outset. Well, we don't know about that either, so I don't think he said there was loads of runs I had to throw out. I don't think he said that. Why not just do the one that Gary himself suggested would settle the matter once and for all? So this is just more crap. Obviously I didn't suggest an experiment where you don't use a quick release, and I didn't suggest an experiment where you use different shaped objects. Lots of conditions I would have put on the experiment that you didn't give a shit about. And again, when you did the experiment with cue balls, you pretty much proved, okay, free energy. You know, you proved that the same force somehow produces different amounts of energy, and one of them has more energy than what you put in. All right. I.e., he says launch any object off the edge of a table. So he's just playing a game against. You know, because I made a brief statement about how just do this simple experiment. You just get something into the air. There's air resistance is a lot less than friction with the ground, and it'll pretty much demonstrate that there's not four times the energy. The thing going twice as fast will fall twice as far. That's as far as it's going to go. It's not going to go four times further. All right, then repeat it with half the mass. And the half mass will land 2x farther, not 1.4. Because it will be going, he claims, 2x faster in accordance with MV. What I claim is there's absolutely no theory for it doing anything different. You can't theoretically come up with any kind of rational explanation for how you can change it, because Professor Loon will tell you that the velocity this way is not affected by any force of gravity this way. So it just can't matter, you dumb retard. If it has twice the velocity, it has to move at twice the distance. It doesn't have a choice. In the same amount of time it'll take to fall, it will fall at the same rate, whether it's going 500 miles an hour or it's going 10 miles an hour, it will fall at exactly the same rate. It will land at exactly the same time. So you haven't paid any attention to what is a theoretical argument. I can show you Professor Lewin demonstrating that by a monkey falling and him shooting it. Okay, and he'll point out to you it doesn't fucking matter how fast the bullet is, doesn't matter how fast anything is, because it'll exactly always turn out exactly the same way. That you'll never hit the monkey if you aim for the monkey. Okay. You know, because of the fact, but there's a standard to how these things fall, and the bullet is going to fall at exactly the same rate as the monkey falls, blah, 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 blah. Because it's gravity. And it's not interfering with any movement in this direction. So I'm just saying there's no theoretical possibility of the experiment coming out any other way than the thing going twice as fast will go twice as far when it hits the ground. There's no theoretical reason for any other outcome than unless you use a feather and a hammer. Okay, unless you do something where the objects will be affected by air resistance disproportionately, there's no ability to have any other outcome and say you did a successful rational experiment. Only by breaking the rules, doing something stupid, could you come up with any other kind of result. All right. Because it will be going, he claims, 2x... Well, it'll be going because you measured how fast it's going. God, you're such a liar. All right, tip. You can measure exactly by landing the objects on kitchen foil. Okay, so he's going back to his technique. Oh, it's so funny. So again, this is an experiment that has no theoretical ground. There's no reason for anybody to think it is possible that something going twice as fast... So this thing's going half the speed of this thing. Okay? That there's any possible way that if this is really going twice as fast as this is going, that somehow this can land 1.4. It can't do that. It has to go twice as far. It's going twice as fast. Gravity is moving it down at exactly the same speed. They're both at the same height, by the way. Gravity's moving it down at exactly the same speed. They're going down at the same speed. They're going to hit the ground at the same time. This one has to go twice as far. There's no theoretical room for any other conclusion. And you just keep insisting that you've proven otherwise. You can't prove otherwise, retard. You're disproving every physics professor on this planet. There's not a single physics professor I've ever seen who ever argued anything other than this energy is completely separate from this energy. The falling force is a separate force from the energy propelling the object in this direction, and the two forces will not interfere with each other. And this will keep going exactly at same speed in this direction, and this will go exactly the same speed in that direction, and you can't change either one of them. So you're just a stupid, ignorant dupe to type this crap defending something that's impossible. Your results are just a demonstration that you suck at doing experiments. The fact that you proved 1.4 is just proving you're stupid. You suck at doing experiments. All right. Okay. So let's read it. You can measure exactly by the landing objects on kitchen foil. He insists that by any object he means spheres. I mean anything that's going to fly the same way. So, yes, you don't want to, you know, this is a little too simple, obviously, right? If I threw plates, you'd understand that, oh, maybe that's not going to work because, you know, you can turn plates into frisbees. And they'll go much further depending on how you throw them. So if I throw the plate flat like this, it's not going to go very far. But if I throw it on edge, it's going to go a lot further. So yeah, I make simple objections to shooting the objects that have different aerodynamics. You have to shoot objects that have the same aerodynamics. Wow, is that an insane condition I placed on the experiment? What an insane condition that they have the same aerodynamics. The only force that's going to interfere with their where they're going to end up, right? You could do it in a vacuum. You know, what's your explanation, Steve? Do you think in a vacuum you're going to get your retarded results? It's just amazing. He means spheres. I mean anything equally aerodynamic. Okay, after I initially used coins, right? You know, right, of varying weights, right? Coins, funny shaped objects. Not the best thing to be pushing through air. I mean, everybody, you know, kind of knows that if a penny flies on edge, then it would be very dangerous. But the fact is it tumbles, and so it tends to go flat, which means it falls much slower. But it would actually be more lethal if that wasn't what the aerodynamics cause. And I think those aerodynamics are caused by the fact that we don't make perfect spheres. So the sphere doesn't end up being perfectly balanced, and so the imbalance ends up forcing it to distort in, you know, the lever turns because the weights aren't the same on both sides of the coin. All right, anyway, after I initially used coins of varying weights, okay, and he insists you use simplest launcher. Yeah, I insist that the launcher number one be quick release, okay, and that's perfectly rational. Everybody should be able to figure out that, you know, your fingers just aren't very effective. Anybody who's done any of these experiments can understand that, yeah, it's really hard to, like, even if you had a jack-in-the-box and you had to pull your finger away to let the jack-in-the-box pop open, that, you know, sometimes your finger catches a little more than other times and it pops open slower. I mean, little kids can figure this out doing those kind of experiments. After me using a Bic pen spring, so he's going through all this ancient history. I mean, he's just such a weaselly, pathetic dupe. He thinks it doesn't matter what kind of crappy thing he uses to give things the velocity. It's really important that if you're going to do the experiment, you verify that one object's going twice as fast as the other object. You can't just say it's going twice as fast. You have to verify that it's going twice as fast. All right. So I used his design of elastic band launcher. It wasn't my design. I just decided to use elastic bands, okay? It's no big deal because I figured a slingshot is pretty good at shooting any kind of sized object. So I could put two balls in the slingshot and I'm probably going to get the same result as if I put one heavy ball. Because I didn't have 2-to-1 ratio balls. I didn't have all this stuff. So that's why I chose that. No big deal. I didn't make some declaration that rubber bands are better than springs, because I don't even think they are, frankly. I don't think rubber bands conserve the momentum as well as a spring does, but who knows? Launching steel spheres, verified weights, blah, blah, blah. So he just keeps going through all this crap that your experiment is a piece of shit. It's illogical, it's unreasonable, it can't fit with what conventional physics already knows is the truth. You're denying what the professors all say, and then you're claiming you're defending their theory. You can't have that. That's a hypocrisy, retard. Okay. And this time the results were spectacularly accurate. So what big fat lie. Okay. He did the experiment like 15 different ways and every one of them came out different. All right. If you are, so obviously you can just choose the one that suits him. So we already know he does a ton of experiments. He doesn't ever shows us because the results weren't what he wanted them to be. All right, we could see all the crap in the background, all the experiments we never got to see, and we didn't get to see them because they didn't turn out the way he wanted them to. Simple answer. He's the one quote mining the evidence. Confirmation bias. If you are lying down the ground rules of scientific experimentation, you might want to try repeating experiments yourself before demanding that others go out collecting cardboard to copy yours. Okay, just because you got bad results doesn't oblige us to copy your poor methods. So this guy can't take his own advice, right? I mean, whatever. Homeless bum, heal thyself. Drunken loser, heal thyself. I mean, whatever. All right, I really do challenge you to try Gary's far simpler experiment, which I have done 3 times. Right, and you got different results. Despard did it and got very different results from yours. So keep pretending, okay, that your experiments had credibility and you're just pretending, okay? Your launch device was suspect. And you're just pretending that you know it did the right thing, that it gave the object twice the velocity, when you know it didn't. All right. I do not have access to a room like the ones you and Despard use, so I am in no position to repeat your experiment anyhow. He always has excuses now. So this is, you know, the regular excuses is, oh, my stuff is put away. It's all outside because I'm getting inspected. You know, whatever. Oh, this is so pathetic. Like I say, this was the most disappointing ever, considering the big announcement. Well, who cares what you think? I the point is that yes, he has overshot. Okay, he's not gonna have the substance to defend the boldness of the statement because he really doesn't have the goods. I don't care if you want to MIT or anywhere. I don't care if you went to MIT or anywhere else. Well, I do. So you know, it does still impress me. You know, because frankly, you have to be able to pass tests and do shit to be able to get in. You know, my father had to be quite persuasive to get me the invitation, okay, to potentially go to MIT. These aren't MIT standard experiments or even close, but whatever. So again, I could just point out, I mean, I could just show the image of Professor Lewin's little cart with the blob of clay smushed on it. And so the one cart presumably has a blob of clay on the other side, you know, to make it even. So it has 2 blobs of clay. And the cart that's supposed to weigh twice as much has 0 blobs of clay. It's supposed to have 4 blobs of clay, and it's got 0. Yeah, I think that's a cardboard experiment. I think that's a bullshit experiment. All right. All you've proved is that you do have to take a lot more care than this to conduct experiments. And again, this is what the Mythbusters were actually good for, is that they would, you know, do these experiments, and a lot of them were quite revealing, you know, in terms of, you know, shooting bullets through bent pipes and all kinds of different experiments that you always wish somebody would do, and that's all really great. And it's just too bad they never took on the myth of MV squared. But they did accidentally take it on, and they wiped it out, okay? They destroyed any notion of it existing. There was just 0 evidence of it, not even an inkling of its existence. You know, it's not even close to a marginal outcome. It's so decisively no evidence at all of MV squared. It buggers belief. Yeah, you should talk. Beggars, that you think this is an important experiment. I mean, it's just amazing. It is important as a concept. Now, yes, his experiment is a little loose, especially since we didn't see it. I really thought you must have something more spectacular than this to have made such a big announcement. Well, I mean, what he could have used to make the announcement was just to point out the history. So he could just read a little bit of the history and say, gee, look at this silly fucking equation. It's all based on no fucking evidence. All they have are these silly clay experiments. And the clay experiments can be understood with spherical geometry and understanding shapes make different impacts. You know, so if you shape an object, it'll penetrate differently. Wow. Yeah, oh shit, you need a whole big brain for that. All right, so the Mickey Farley LOL. Yes, that's another brilliant counter-argument. Ooh. Ooh. Okay, we know clay is a sufficiently linear medium because when we substitute the 4x height, so whatever that is, 2 times the velocity for 4 times the mass, we get exactly the same displacement. Well, obviously, yes, the same momentum in the same object. It doesn't make any difference. Remember that even Gary agrees that 4x the mass should give 4xs, whatever that is. The momentum. Yes, Gary says momentum is what affects how things penetrate. But he also says that if you make the object shaped like a bullet, it'll penetrate more too. So, obviously I can have the same momentum in an object that's shaped like this, or I could have the momentum in a shape that was perfectly round. Well, obviously, this one's going to have more penetrating power than the round thing. Duh. So the fact that 4xh also gives the same 4s to m means that we have verified the 4s achieved, blah, blah, blah. So this is, again, there's absolutely no reason to believe that the shape of the object doesn't make a huge difference in terms of it creates a bias. The deeper you go, your shape changes in terms of what parts of you are interacting with the surface. And that makes a big difference in how much of that clay you're going to displace. Oh, look at all this shit. Oh, fuck. I really wasn't anticipating that. Eek. This is a response to your early assertion about the 3 minutes in. And DS is right to suggest clay isn't necessarily a linear measure. If you are quoting from a recent video of him saying this, then he is a liar. Amazing. Because I already showed him the method for verifying this point. So that isn't my argument. So let's just understand. Okay, I'm just saying that nobody proved clay. You know, especially, you know, you could say when you compress it to a certain point, does it fight back? It's not an uncompressible liquid. It's clearly a compressible substance to some extent. Now, if you took a blob of clay and then you tried to press it, what will happen is you're just saying there's particles in water. That's what clay is. And if the water can't escape, the water's uncompressible. So, yeah, but it's pretty much an uncompressible liquid. So, in some sense, you're saying, well, it's got to be pretty linear, because it's uncompressible. All right, isn't necessarily blah, 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 blah. Already showed him blah, blah, blah. You've chosen to ignore. So for a year, I have made the point about the shape of the object being the whole reason why the clay experiments in 1735 or whatever the hell it was came out the way they did. That the simple logic is if you used a different shape object, you won't get those results because there's a bias in the shape of the object. The deeper you penetrate the clay, the more clay you move because you're pushing it out of your way. Okay, I'm guessing he didn't bother mentioning the many weeks of testing I did. So again, you did testing and you found different results. So let's go back to your original first clay experiments where you got like 1 to 3. You didn't get the right answer. So just lie some more about your experiments, such as numerous tests I did with different temperatures and moisture. Yes, all stuff I didn't suggest wasting time with that kind of crap. Okay, but that was your suggestion. The argument was made, okay, that, you know, this has to be thought through. So the idea is that you spend a little time thinking about how the clay gets moved. And as soon as you do that, then you'll see that, you'll observe that little easy thing to understand that the shape of the object makes a big difference. All right, so I'm not going to go through all this. We've already, He's completely ignored the shape argument. He's never made a counter statement pointing out how Wilhelm Grenzel's measured the depth of penetration. Right, that's what everybody said, and what he actually measured was the displacement, the volume. But it doesn't really matter, because the argument is the shape is what's fucked the experiment. Okay, and again, I just show the Mythbusters. So on top of all these clay experiments, we just show the Mythbusters clay experiment that completely verifies momentum as the only factor influencing compression. That's it. There's nothing else. There's just momentum. No sign of any four times bullshit. All right. Note that the wetter the clay, okay, this is, you know, obviously, yeah, it behaves more like a non-compressible liquid. Okay. So again, this is all crap. It doesn't matter. Hot clay, warm clay, who cares? Shape of the object, shape of the object, shape of the object. Okay. The first time I attempted the clay experiment 3 years ago, still under the wrong impression that I should be measuring depth, not displacement, I also made another rookie mistake that seems to recall you also making one in one video. I wrongly thought I need to drop from twice the height to achieve 2x the velocity. Okay, so he made these mistakes that he mocks other people for making. Ah, just so funny. So whatever. Let's see. Gary thinks that my dislike of him would alter the results I achieve. My argument is that you're attempting to do one thing, okay? Validate nonsense. That's your objective. There's no, you don't have any other objective. It's absolute theoretical nonsense. You can't make it make any sense logically. You can't explain how it's possible. I have momentum going into an experiment. I do a whole bunch of stuff. I make heat. I make sounds. I make all sparks. I make all kinds of stuff. And I have exactly the same momentum coming out. Go ahead and explain how that is possible in this physical fucking universe. Because that's the Physics Girl video. That's what she's fucking claiming, you lying sack of weaselly shit. You evasive, lying piece of garbage. You can't explain a simple principle. This has momentum. It goes into an experiment. It makes a whole bunch of shit move. And then it comes out with the same fucking momentum. Explain how that's possible in this fucking universe. You lying weasel. You have failed for the whole fucking process of all these videos. You have evaded every fucking argument I have made. Okay? You have evaded all the spaceship arguments. You have evaded all the arguments that decisively prove there's no place for this MV squared shit. You use the word NASA in your fucking comment as if NASA validates MV squared when it does exactly the fucking obvious. The opposite. All of the space, all the sci-fi films kind of demonstrate it to be bullshit because they all talk about mass and velocity. You want to go somewhere, you have to let something go. You know, that's their fucking argument. Okay, and it's just about how much mass it is and how fast it's going, and that's the only thing deciding how much energy you get from it. So quit lying, you fucking weasel. You have evaded every fucking argument that's made against your silly, stupid, idiotic fucking free energy propaganda, you fucking little weasel. Ugh, disgusting fucker. Yeah, so I don't know if I'll bother with the rest of this. Let's see. Oh dear, this is most disappointing. It's almost as if you have not checked any of Despar Lab's tests. Despar quit because he couldn't do an experiment right. Okay, so why does he need to do that? Doing exactly the same test a year or two ago. There's nothing wrong with doing the test. There's nothing wrong with doing the launching stuff off of a ledge test. You just have to verify that you did it right and you got the right velocities. You didn't use gravity to create your velocities. You used your Bic Pen launcher and said, I know how much energy the Bic Pen gives. I mean, you're the idiot, okay, who's rigged the experiments to come out the way you want them to. All right, and again, I'll argue the whole idea, let me just draw it once. I mean, there's no theoretical ground. He can't stand and point a finger or do anything. I mean, it's so obviously wrong, and he's just doing this evil thing where he's just pretending he doesn't have to account for the fact that there's no theoretical possibility it came out the way he claims. There's no way the physical universe can work that way. It's not possible. His results are impossible. They can't be accurate. And the professors he's defending will tell him it's not possible. So if you gave them the question on a test, they're going to get the right answer and say the right thing because they're not stupid like you. Okay? So again, if you're going to sit there and fly two things, okay, off of a ledge, and I have a twice as massive object and a half mass object, and I'm going to give them the same momentum. So the one's going to go 2x the velocity here. Okay, twice the velocity. This one has half that velocity. All right, there's no option. There's no, it went 1.4 option. You know, this one only went 1.4. It's not a possibility. If it has twice the velocity leaving, this direction can't be interrupted. Okay, just in this direction can't be interrupted. And all that's going to happen is they're both going to fall at the same rate. And so this is the outcome. And it can't be any other outcome. There's no theoretical possibility for any other outcome. If it's going twice as fast, it has to cover twice as much distance. You can't change this arrow. You can't change this arrow. Okay, if it's going 30 miles an hour, it goes this far in a period of time. This time has to be identical. The time this one hits and the time this one hits will be the identical time. You have the same amount of time. Something's going 30 miles an hour, same time. Something's going 60 miles an hour. It has to go twice as far. It can't go something other than twice as far. It can't go 1.4 as far. It's impossible. It'll never happen in any real experiment done by anybody who's competent. So this experiment can't possibly, it only proves your fact that you got this idiotic result proves you suck at doing experiments. This is a proof that you can't do an experiment right because your answer is so far off what is the requirement if you did this correctly. If you got 2x the velocity here and one velocity here, it can't come out any other fucking way. And the two objects have the same aerodynamics. It can't come out any other way. Then this will land twice as far as this one. Can't come out any other way. There's no theoretical possibility of any other fucking answer. And here you are defending your lies and your bullshit. This experiment is proof if you do it right. And you proved you can't do it right. You proved you fail at doing experiments correct because there was only one possible outcome for this experiment. You do this experiment right, there's only one possible result. In the physics that every physicist agrees with. No physicist will dispute what I just said here. This velocity is uninterrupted by the falling process. The falling process is uninterrupted by the velocity of the object. It doesn't matter whether this is going 1 million miles an hour and this is going 1 mile an hour, same outcome. They hit the ground at the same fucking time. I mean, obviously on Earth, a million miles an hour, you know, you won't be falling in gravity anymore, blah, 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 blah. You know, you'll be achieving an orbit, but on a flat surface, you'll have the same result. So when you reduce the curvature to a tiny fraction, obviously you end up with the same result. And every physicist would say that. I shoot them at 30 miles an hour and I shoot them at 60 miles an hour, they land at the same time, the same exact time. Galileo proved it, Descartes proved it, Newton proved it, and you're refuting it with one of your chicanery cardboard fucking experiments and then saying you've done real physics. You're an idiot. Okay? I should draw the damn fucking, and again, you're defending an experiment where I have a certain amount of momentum, I have mass and velocity. I do an experiment, I come out with the same mass, velocity, the same momentum, and yet here I created a whole bunch of things moving. I made a whole bunch of shit move. I made sounds, I moved atmosphere, I did all kinds of shit, and I end up with the same exact momentum, 100 in, 100 out, and yet I did a whole bunch of other shit. And you say that is good physics. Well, that makes you a retard, an asshole, and an idiot. Booyah. Fuck you, you're dead. You're dead as a person who can do any kind of reasoning or honest logic. You're obvious a liar and a sack of shit because you haven't paid any attention to these fucking simple counter-arguments that completely annihilate any hope of your fucking bullshit having anything to do with reality. You're fucking propagandist for crap. So enough of the video. Jesus. God, life on this planet just absolutely sucks. I mean, that I have to waste my time doing this. None of you motherfucking hunks of shit can do any better reasoning than this slop. Fuck. Alright, this has been a DraftPhysics.com video presentation.